Let's take a couple minutes now in meditation. I invite you to close your eyes if you like and put down anything that you might be holding. And let's just breathe. Breathing in and breathing out. And breathing in. And we bring in that breath to the very depth of our being. We're warmed and we're touched and we're moved to the very depths of our being. Because intellectually we might understand that we could greet the Christ consciousness, but emotionally and spiritually we get it. That the Christ consciousness is to move to the very depths of our being, to reside there. To understand that we are this subtle movement of Mother, Father, God. Breathing in. And as we breathe in, we kindle the flame of that Christ consciousness. We give birth to that Christ consciousness again and again and again throughout our lives. Because that is the truth of who we are and what we are and what we have always been. This Christ consciousness revealed. So let's take that awareness into the silence. Let's just be with it and feel it and experience it and know it in the silence. Spirit of God, you do move me. You remind me of the truth of who I am. And because that's true, I say thank you, God. Thank you to the Spirit of God. Thank you for this birth of the Christ consciousness deep within me that shows me the way. And so it is, God. So it is. Amen.
Mother, Father.
Thank you all. Isn't that pretty? So nice. As they were singing, it reminded me that for years and years, whenever I wanted to talk about the Spirit of God, I always said Mother, Father, God. And I just did that for years. And now, the last few years, I've said the Spirit of God. But it's nice to be reminded, oh, yeah, you know, I used to say that all the time. Which I guess ties in perfectly with today's theme, right? Today we're talking on the last Sunday of Advent. And the theme of the day is joy. And I don't know about you, but I find it kind of interesting that the last one is joy. Because there's a piece of me that says, well, love's the big deal. You know, shouldn't that one be last? But it's not. And as I was getting ready for today and, you know, preparing my talk and all that, it sort of hit me as to why. You know, because I think love is just one more tool that leads us to joy. And I remember talking to a couple a few years ago, and they said they really liked to distinguish between happiness and joy. And I said, well, what's that mean? And they said, well, you know, happiness is kind of giddy and big joking and laughing. Oh, and, you know, I'm so happy. And they said, but joy is more subtle. Joy is just that feeling from deep within. And I kind of like that. I like the distinguishing characteristics that they laid out. That somehow, when we want to talk about joy, that we do dive in to that more immediate experience. And so the first thing I thought of is joy is not about the future, and joy is not about the past. Because as I started writing this, I thought, well, joy is about the anticipation of things to come. And then as I got into this more deeply, I realized, oh, I was just flat wrong. Because the choice to live in joy as the future, or the choice to live in joy as something that we anticipate, that I think what that does is puts joy in the future. And it would be the same thing as if we said joy's in the past. It would be like, oh, here's this great experience I had. Here's this great relationship I had. Here's this great job that I had. I remember that one Christmas 38 years ago. It was so cool. And so I came to realize that joy is not about living in the past, and it's not living about the future. It's like right now. Joy is about living in the holy instant, wherever you are, whatever situation that you might find yourself in terms of relationships, in terms of finances, in terms of church services, in terms of your friendships. Joy is a choice that we make right now to say, yeah, what I want to do is to look around and see and touch and taste and smell and hear and feel that, oh yeah, this is the holy instant of joy. Because it's too easy to be seduced into living into the future or to living into the past instead of focusing on this moment right here, right now. And so I thought, as I was doing this, I thought, joy is really about exploration. And so I thought, it was if you were a rich, extraordinarily rich person, and you lived in this huge mansion, and it had hundreds of rooms, and each room was filled with a different experience. Except as this wealthy person living in this huge mansion, you chose to live in one room for your whole life. It's kind of like, as an outsider, you want to say, idiot, do you know what you're missing? Look around, explore. And I think joy is about that exploration. I think joy is about that rich person saying, you know, I've looked at that door 1,000 times before, but I've never gone out of it. And so joy becomes this choice to say, maybe I'll open the door. Maybe I'll see what's out there. And by the way, as an aside, there's this great spiritual book called The Door of Everything. I recommend it. Yeah. And so in this exploration, what that says is, okay, I'm this person, I'm this wealthy person going, look at all this that I've been missing for years and years and years. I just ignored it and I stayed put right where I was. And so what this says is, oh, what I need to do is engage in the mysterii exploratio. Impressed? Yeah. The mysterii exploratio, which is the mystery of the exploration. And what that says is, oh, in this thing we call life, let's have joy, let's have fun. Let's make it a kick in the pants. And let's involve ourselves in the mysterii exploratio. Let's get into this mysterious exploration of what's in this fantastic, incredible, never-ending, infinite home that we live in, this mansion that we live in. I like to do etymology of words, and so I got intrigued by explore, the word explore. She's demonstrating joy. And I got intrigued, and so the word explore, it's got the EX right there, right? Explore. And so it comes from the old French. And so explore has two meanings. Initially, it was from the old French that meant to cry out. It was a hunter's term. To cry out when you found something. Isn't that interesting for explore, you know? And the other meaning was to make to flow. Now, I like that, especially when we're talking about the emergence of the Spirit of God within us, this flowing of the Spirit of God within us. And so what that says is we're engaged in this exploration of the mystery. What that says is there might be some times when we just want to cry out because the Spirit of God is flowing through us, over us, emerging from us. Because I think joy is about the deepest truth that there is. Joy is saying, I'm not going to live in the past, I'm not going to live in the future. I'm just going to explore to see what's there. That's the deepest truth. It's deeper than just looking around. It's deeper than an adventure. What it says is, joy is the deepest truth. To say, oh, if I live in this holy instant, if I live in the Spirit of God, then what happens is I'm just filled with something. And I can't even describe it. Yeah, I'm a human being, and so I got the intellectual part going on too, and so I'm going to try to describe it. But as you've heard me say many times over the years, words are a tool of the physical human being. And when we try and use that tool, those words, they're never going to fit the spiritual experience. It's always going to fall short. Yeah. So you can think about the deepest words, the deepest description of this deep, deep, deep truth. And we can use words to describe it, but it always falls short of the glory, right? Because if once I say, well, this is what it's like, then you go, well, it's not quite what it's like for me, and let me improve on that. joy is about the deepest truth. And I think that shows up. And I'm going to guess many of you have seen this. How many people have seen the series The Chosen? Oh, not as many as I thought. Thank you. The Chosen is this really cool series, and it's kind of about Jesus, but it's more about the disciples that Jesus is choosing, about the Chosen, the disciples, the apostles, and they're normal people with troubles, and you know, sometimes they don't always tell the full truth, and sometimes they do things they're not supposed to, and it's so rich. But what I like about it the most is this actor. I don't know why I said actor. Yeah, this actor who is playing the part of Jesus. And what makes it cool is that he's gentle, and he laughs, and he has a good sense of humor, and he teases people. And I thought, yes, that had to be what Jesus was like. Because I think if Jesus was this torn individual, oh, God, I love God. People would say, Jesus Christ. But in paintings, I mean, is this often how he's portrayed? And I really do believe that at the time, or if it happened right now, I think people would say, well, I respect that. I mean, I get it, but I don't want to be like that. But this good guy that gets along and laughs and teases people, but it's still very holy, very spiritual. Any question that he gets, he sort of takes it to prayer. He's not in a hurry to answer it. I'm just like, yeah, that had to be what Jesus was really like, or he wouldn't have gotten any followers. And by the way, as you're leaving today, take a look at that painting back there that's on the back wall in the pink. From a distance, the first time I saw it, I thought, well, that's a kind of a mediocre painting to put up there. And then I got closer and closer, and I saw the sheep that were there and the flowers, and I saw the look on Jesus' face, which was joy. And I thought, oh, yes, I'm just in love with that painting now. There's an expression, not one that we use very often, but that the people who are really deeply into the archaeology and the theology of Christianity, that they like to use, and it's called that the Holy Spirit is God's joy in God. Isn't that interesting? The Spirit that I talk about every Sunday, the Spirit that's moving within us, that's God's joy in God. In other words, to be who I am, to be what I am, to be filled with joy at the very understanding of this is who I am, this is what I am. And I think, isn't that the challenge for each of us? To say, let me accept who I am. Let me discover what I am at the deepest of levels. So when we do that, then we're participating in God's joy in God, because the idea would be that we're an expression, we're an interpretation, we're a slice of the Spirit of God. And as you've heard me say many times, I think that that's true, whether you like the Bible, or whether you like the Upanishads, or whether you like the Tao Te Ching, or whether you like basic quantum physics. I'll sort of say the same thing. Basic quantum physics says in the beginning, they never use this word. The basic quantum physics was saying in the beginning, here was the entire universe in something the size of a golf ball. And when and then there was a ding and it exploded. And so what that was, there was nothing else. That's all there was the Spirit of God. And so from a physics point of view, we would have to be a slice of the Spirit of God. We'd have to be an expression of the Spirit of God. So how do we experience the joy of ourselves and the joy of God? And so this is what I would leave you with. I would leave you with a few things. First of all, to just be in harmony. And with my apologies to Julie, I never really understood this word harmony. I'm not a musician. And so I thought, harmony, that's just everybody singing the same song, right? Julie's already going, nope. Yeah, I didn't get that. I just thought that's what it meant. And then I met this woman over here, and she sings. And so sometimes I'd have to take her to choir practice. And what would happen is she, on the way home or on the way there, or the people who were there, they would talk about being in harmony. And it was sort of, here's melody and here's harmony. And they're not the same thing, but together they sound incredible, right? Mm-hmm. How am I doing?
Good. Yeah, okay.
And so to be in harmony doesn't mean to be like everybody else. To say, hey, let's everybody sing melody. Two problems with that. One, not everybody can do it, like me. And the other problem would be, well, I want to be like everybody else. I want to move in harmony. And so to be in harmony, I think what that means is to align with your soul, to align with your spirit, your soul, your spirit, nobody else's. And to be in a full alignment, just when you are by yourself, to do that. And so how do you do that? Well, I think you try to align with the Spirit of God within you. Well, that's, I don't know about you, but mostly that's gobbledygook, right? Align with the Spirit of God within you. Uh-huh. Well, I think what that says is, oh, we get quiet. We get quiet, we turn inward. And maybe you pray. Maybe you meditate. Or maybe you just get quiet. And that's about aligning with the Spirit of God within you. It's turning inward, it's getting quiet. There's no magic words that you have to say. There's no, oh, I have to get my thumb and fingers exactly right to be able to feel the experience of God. You read the books that say, you know, you cannot sit in a chair. Well, I don't know, if I don't sit in a chair when I meditate, my back hurts. And that's all I'm going to think about. And so, yeah, you want to sit in a chair, sit in a chair. You want to stand up, stand up. You want to walk, walk. You want to be on a yoga mat with your fingers exactly right? Cool. But the thing is do what takes you into the silence. Do what shuts off all the mind chatter. That's going to be different for everybody because we're in harmony. And when we do that, let's practice the presence of the Spirit of God. Well, what does that mean? To practice the presence of the Spirit of God. I think it means two things. I think, first of all, it means to imagine that the Spirit of God is within you. To see it, and to feel it, and to hear it. And if you can't do that, pretend. Pretend that the Spirit of God is within you. What does that mean? Well, I think what that means is, if the Spirit of God were inside of me, I guess this is what it would be like. Exactly. Pretend. Go with that feeling. Align yourself with that feeling. And then the second thing I would say is align with the flow of God. Align with the flow of life. There is a kind of rhythm, isn't there? Kind of ebb and flow. And I think what it means, maybe more than anything else, is stop insisting that you're right. Listen to others. Doesn't mean you let other people make your decisions for you. And other people have some good things to say. We can learn so much when we listen to others. We hear their stories. We take them deep inside. And we can align with that flow of life, but it extends far beyond other human beings, doesn't it? If we want to align with the flow of life, the people I talk to here on Sundays, holy cow, there's people who are aligned with nature and with trees and flowers and with other animals. We had the Regional Unity Conference of Ministers here, the Pacific Northwest region, in September. And I paid the deer, and they came out. And we told all the Unity ministers, don't go outside to see them or you frighten them away. And so three or four different times, the hallway was lined with people at the windows looking at the deer. Talking about people aligning with the flow of life, I just thought it was fantastic. Yeah. Geraldine gets it. Is Geraldine still here? There she is. Geraldine gets it. You know what Geraldine does to align with the flow of life? She brings the deer salt licks, watermelon, cantaloupe. They love it. They love Geraldine. Yeah. When it's all said and done, what we want to do is, as much as we can, is to let go of our egos. Yeah, to let go and let God, let the Spirit of God run things for a while. And I know that's a good thing, because what I always want to say is, if you're nervous about letting God run things and your ego wants to run things, how's that working for you? Yeah. Honestly, if it's working for you pretty well and you're at peace and you're at joy, don't change a thing. But if your life isn't going the way you want it to, if you find yourself in relationships that you really don't want to be in, if you find yourself caught up in experiences that you don't want to be in, well, knock it off. Instead, let go of that stuff and let God run the show for a while. Do what's right. Do what's nice. Do what's kind. Align yourself with the flow of God. Align yourself with the Spirit of God. So it is. Namaste. Namaste.